Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. It's a tradition in most educational institutes when they start off a kitab, they start off with gharz, ghayat and mawdu. In short, you see the kitab that we are teaching you, so what's the purpose? What are you supposed to be looking for in this kitab? Then, number two is, after you've understood, all right, this is the gharz, this is the ghayat, this is what you're supposed to be acquiring, what is the mawdu, what is the subject? What must I do in order to reach there? A normal person, his concern is wealth. In a more dignified language, material security. Same thing, wealth, peace. They want some material security. So you are making effort, why? Material security. And then number two is, what are the steps that you're going to be taking to get there? So these are two main concerns. And in the institutes, they will outline this so that you know what you're bargaining for, and then you're looking for the right things. Like you got a kitab, right? A kitab, for example, of tafsir, and you're looking for lughat there. You're looking for vocabulary, that's right. Or you got a kitab on mathematics, right? And you're looking for history. You may find something, by the way, but then your whole line is not right. Your mindset is not right. So your mind needs to be right, so you know what you're supposed to be acquiring. Now the same will apply to the Quran Sharif, that when you are looking into the Quran Sharif, then the first thing that you want to know is, what am I looking into the Quran Sharif for? Some scientific fact, or something about history, or to increase my vocabulary. So what am I looking in the Quran Sharif for? Sometimes, in the beginning years, about the second, third year, they will teach the child Quran Sharif Tarjama. So teaching the Tarjama at that time will be more or less to get the child acquainted, munasabah. He gets a little bit acquainted with the language. He knows the sentence construction, and he knows what this line is talking about. So one is to get the acquaintance, compatibility. And thereafter, he is not left at that level, then he must progress on that. So therefore they will teach you hadith later on. First you get compatible, and after you've got the compatibility, now understand what is the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After everything is said and done, then what are you supposed to be searching in the Quran Sharif, in the pages of the Quran Sharif? So the Quran Sharif says it from the very beginning, لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. What you're looking for is high guidance. Now, when you're looking for guidance, so that must be the frame of mind of an individual that is looking into the pages of the Quran Sharif. I'm looking for my guidance. Right? And this is an answer to your dua, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Allah Ta'ala, show me, you guide me. قِرَاطُ الْتَرِيكِ, you show me. And as an answer to your dua, Allah Ta'ala says, اُدَنِّي الْمُتَّقِيمِ, you are looking. So, let me show it to you. Now, a question may come to the normal reader, right? The question that comes to a normal reciter of the Quran Sharif is that this is a guidance for the muttaqeen, so I'm nowhere near there, so can it be a guidance for me? So the answer is quite simple, that it's a guidance for those who wish to get into taqwa. Right? Like you go and see in a university or a school, then you see the prospectus, right? So you see engineering, And this is what you need to go through, the books that you need to make available, right? And this is what you'll have to go through. So, what it's telling you, if you progress in engineering, then this is the route, this is the way that you go. So same, you want to get onto the path of taqwa, then this is how you get there. هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Now you understood what is the gharz, and the ghayat, and the mawdu. Now, the second thing that you'll want to know in the Quran, what is the mawdu? I need to get there. I need to get to Jannah with ease. But now, what is the path? What is the path that I must adopt in order to get there? So you know, alright, it's Jannah. But now you have to take a path to get there. So now what's the path that is to be adopted in order for me to have a safe journey to that place? So then the Quran speaks about three basic themes, basic topics. Throughout the Quran Sharif, it's just three basic topics that the Quran Sharif will discuss, will go on speaking about. Right? So the one basic topic that starts and commences from the beginning right to the end is Tawheed. Right. So from the beginning it will talk, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اُبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. So from the beginning it will talk about Tawheed, وَاُبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ. كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. How can you turn away? Understand what was your beginning. You were just dead in the form of a human seed. There was no life. It means no visible life. What is scientific? Not a scientific. What is visible, perceivable to your eyes, there's no life in that. Then that thing that was lifeless, Allah Ta'ala created life in that. So don't you think about it. So this is the first topic that the Quran Sharif will speak. So when you apply your mind in that manner, then you will begin to relate to Tawheed, the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. When you talk of Tawheed, what you're talking about, the being of Allah Ta'ala and His attributes, that He is totally unique, absolutely unique in His being, in His attributes. So if you apply your mind like this, you can see it. See, there's two things that blocks off the path of any person, any individual. He gets blocked off when he's got two impediments. The one is prejudice and bias. Who is he? What he thinks about himself. So if you got that attitude, you can't progress. So you got an attitude, alright, I must learn. So even if it is a small child, there may be a lesson that I can learn from him. Let me open my eyes, let me see things in perspective, understand it, right? Some many years ago, you know, in the 60s, 70s, there were a lot of bridges, but steel bridges. You have seen that steel bridge, right? And that's steel bridge has something like a cover on the top. So now, this truck is moving through the steel bridge, and the top of the touch of the truck is tucked into the ceiling of the bridge. Now, can't move forward, can't reverse, can't go forward. Now they call the fire brigade, they call the police, America now, for everybody. Everybody's catching head. So one small nipper, 9-10 years of age, he comes and says, "Sir, can I give my 2 cents worth?" Say, "Well, you're a nipper, what are you going to show us?" So he says, "No, let me just give it a try. It's worth something, you can apply it. It's not worth something, you can scrap it." So what comes to my mind is just deflate the tires and see how smoothly you'll go through. So you can gain something very precious from the person that you think that he's nothing. But now, what blocks the way, the thing that blocks the way is biasness and prejudice. And that prejudice comes as a result of pride. And see how Allah says it, سَأَصْرِفْ وَنْ آيَاتِ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبْرُونَ. The one that's got takabur, he thinks something of himself, then he's blocked off. Then in his eyes, he's great. But in the eyes of Allah, he's nothing. In his eyes, he seems to be great. But in the eyes of people, he's nothing. So that person has to make a lot of story about himself, praise himself, his work, his business, You must talk about it. Why? You must talk about it. Because he feels that he is the one that is making things happen. When he thinks that he is the one that is making things happen, so he has to talk about it. He has to market the product. Although it may not be valuable, but somehow he has to add the value to it. In Farsi, they talk about musk. Musk abayat khud bagoyed, nab attar bagoyed. Musk is such. It doesn't require the perfumer to market the thing. That thing is an advertisement in itself. Just leave the bottle there and say, hey, what is this? Where you got it from? What is this? What's the price? Tell me the price. So that thing speaks for itself. Otherwise you made it up, right? With a big story. So for some time, people will take to it, right? They say, hey, Kentucky. Such a big story, such a big photo, they got everything about, right? Ambiance, everything nice. But in a moment they saw honchos, hey, leave this thing there. That's what happened. They tasted this thing. You know, this is not worth anything. It's just a show, just a name, but really it's not worth, not a train smash. Right? So, same happens to us. Is we get caught up with prejudice, bias, and the prejudice and bias root is pride, and the pride is to think too much of yourself, to think it's self-acquired, and despise the next person. So that's the essence of pride. Alamgir Aurangzeb was the last successful ruler of India, ruled for approximately 50 years, 49, 50 years. From the Mughal rulers, nobody ruled like him. So he was an alim, successful ruler, and also a very witty person, extremely witty person, sight, vision. When Allah Pak blesses someone, right, then he gives him a vision as well. You understand? It's not just a blessing. He blesses him, and he's got a vision, he's got a sight, he can understand things in perspective. That's the sign that Allah Pak likes the person. Allah Pak bless the person. So when he's blessed him, he'll give him ideas. So he'll think to himself, hey, I was nothing, no, I just escalated. So he doesn't realize that Allah Ta'ala caused the escalation. Open the ways, and then you go move on like this. So, the more you trust in Allah Ta'ala, the more you look at Allah Ta'ala, the more He'll give you this elevation. And the more you look at yourself, then you get demoted. So it's left to the individual, you want to escalate, or you want yourself to fall down. You look at Allah Ta'ala, ask of Him, beg of Him, humble yourself, then you see, you're just escalating all the time. But that's the secret. So there's a lot of stories of Alamgir Aurangzeb. One, two stories I just want to share with you, right? So, there is a little child who's becoming the successor of the throne of his late father. Father died, and he's the successor of the throne. 10, 12 years of age. And the father has no other children besides this child that is 10, 11 years of age. Now, in the parliament, there's a whole discussion as to who should be ruling over this province. What used to happen in the Mughal Empire? There's a lot of fair play. So, it was like a town or a village, majority Hindus. So, they would allow them to rule and to control their own place. Like how we got this Indunas, right? And they control their own areas. They will report, obviously, to the central government, but they can have their freedom to a certain extent in that area of this. Now the king died, son is too young, so the whole parliament is rocking now as to who's supposed to be the successor of the throne. So some say, but the king, he's got his brothers, so why don't we appoint the brothers as the king? So others say, no, that will be unfair. This is the man, and it needs to run in his lineage. We can't shift it from the lineage. Whatever the Hindu philosophy was. So they decided, alright, this child is going to be the successor to the throne. But now the central government has to approve it, has to endorse it. Without their endorsement, how can he become the ruler? So they're taking the child to the central government, to Delhi, to Alamgir Aurangzeb rahmatullah alayh. En route, they're tutoring the child. And you see, the king may ask you this question, and this is how you're going to answer this question, and this is how you're going to answer. So they're preparing him long in advance. As they approached Delhi, now the child is asking the people that are tutoring him, what if the king has to ask me something besides what you are tutoring? You know, you're tutoring me too well, but he's going to ask me something else then. So those elders said, shabash, shabash, beta. Well done, compliments. Because if you can ask this type of a question, definitely you'll get through there. Now, he's come to Delhi, and it's the Siyash time. Summers gets extremely hot, right? 45, 50 degrees. So Alamgir got a small pond there, and he's relaxing. So now, the royal home, not that he built it, the royal home, so he's enjoying that coolness. So now, the child was ushered in, because he's a minor, so you don't need to observe parda and all that. So the child was ushered in, and he knew more or less what the child is coming for, so he grabbed him by the shoulder, and did like as though he's throwing him to the pond. And the child bursted out laughing. King put up his face. Hey, is this the time to laugh? You're feeling right? So the king asked him, but what is the cause of the laughter? So he says, see, you are such a person with such a magnificent kingdom, you are extending right through Bangladesh, Pakistan, Ceylon, Afghanistan. Your rule goes right over so much. And this is Delhi is like a business port, you know, all over the world they're coming to do business here. It's such a thriving place. So you are such a great person. If your one finger just gets onto one person, then he is already prospered. Now imagine me, if you grab me by both my shoulders, what a prosperous person I will be. So his reasoning was so good. Alright, now you are the right candidate. So these people, when they worked, there was some sight, there was some vision, there was understanding. And more than all that, was the trust in Allah Ta'ala. Not just vision, but the trust in Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala, you will make it happen, it will happen. So that's called Tawheed. Like, you order it, it will happen. You don't order it, it will not happen. So that vision was very strong in Allah Ta'ala, that sight, that vision. The yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala didn't shift for a moment. Now the king is dying, right? As the king is dying, look at the yaqeen. The relationship, yaqeen, the conviction and the relationship they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is on the throes of death. So, the parliament is asking now, alright, Hazrat, now you're going now, so who's going to be your replacement? Apparently we can't find anybody, got no children. So who's going to run this whole kingdom? So the king says, alright, turn to Allah Ta'ala, pleaded to Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala communicated something to him. Alright. After I'm dead and gone, the first person that passes through this path here, you will appoint him as the king. See that the ta'alluq there, understanding with Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala, لُأَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهُ. Relationship is such, if they say something, Allah Ta'ala will make it happen. But now, that's not a general rule. But if someone tries to make it up, pretend, Allah Ta'ala will prove him to be a false, to be an imposter. But you really have that type of a relationship, then Allah Ta'ala will make it happen. Anas ibn Nadhr, right? And it was his auntie or his sister, and there was a small skirmish, so his auntie hit the next woman, and the tooth broke. When the tooth broke, the law of Islam is tooth for tooth. Right. Now for a woman, the looks is very important. Especially if she's in for marriage now, and the looks is very, very important. So do so much things just to beautify the face, this type of makeup, and that type of powder, and that cream, whatever. Nowadays even they go to go for surgery as well, just to enhance the looks. Very strange things happen nowadays. Even now, breast also, they go for surgery for that. Right? They do a lot of things, just to enhance. Hey, look at it from this angle, enhance yourself, proximity of Allah Ta'ala. You got that right, everything works out. What are you looking for, man? Man's mind may change in a second. And would you, in a second I can change. So you're investing in the wrong place. Invest in Allah Ta'ala. You invest there, you're never disappointed. What are you investing in, man? His mind is with you today, right? In a second he just changes, then you are zero. So you invest in the right places. Invest in him. Trust in him. مَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ He was telling you, I'm enough. You are alive. First you are alone. Then you are a wife. Then you got children. Then they become of marriageable age, right? For them to go, you and them to go through all the phases, then you have to understand with progress in life, my trust in Allah Ta'ala must increase. My inclination to Allah Ta'ala, my begging to Allah Ta'ala must increase all the time. I'm here today, then I'm elevated a little bit more. Then my trust, my confidence, my inclination, my yearning, my relationship with Allah Ta'ala must increase all the time. So, may yatawakkal ala Allah fa huwa hasbuh. Allah Pak likes that. He wants you to do it. So he puts you into a situation and he wants you to turn to him. That is why you will find generally the Allah walas are not too wealthy. Sometimes they're going through a very difficult patch and otherwise they're just breaking even. Why? Allah Pak doesn't want them to get too attached. You get too attached to these things, then your attachment to Allah Ta'ala will definitely be affected. You know, I got this, so this thing happens, and then I got something in plan, I got something for me, I got it. But then, where's Allah Ta'ala? You got this plan, and that security plan, and that insurance plan. So, you remove Allah Ta'ala from the equation entirely. That's what happens now. So Allah Ta'ala is nothing, na'uzu billah. This plan here, and that security, and all these things here, is it? So that's why you feel so depressed and despondent, because you removed Allah Ta'ala from the equation. And you got Allah Ta'ala, he said, alright, today is one day, tomorrow is another day. Today is for me, tomorrow is for that person. And this is how the zindagi carries on. Right? So the plan that the awliya speak about is, Ish fi dunya ka annaka tahya abadan. Wa ish li dinika ka annaka tamutu ghadan. Right? Too strange, isn't it? Worldly affairs, like you're going to live forever. And deen as low, you've got just one day. What it means? It means that if your dunya things didn't work out today, tomorrow is another day. The next day is another day. Chaldi ki naam, gari, you ate, you slept, you got a roof, alhamdulillah, it's carrying on. You're not eating anything less. Now, the people are talking of inflation and all that, right? Ask them, they eating more now, or they should eat more then. Ask them now, are they living in better, more palatial homes now, or then? They're going for more for Umrah now, or then? With all that, Allah is still taking them on. People, you couldn't believe, you know, you couldn't believe, you're going with families 3 times, 4 times for Umrah, going to Turkey and all that, right? How much it cost? 150,000, 200,000 But now, they're just flying, it's moving. So, dunya, this is how you're supposed to be taking it. If it didn't work out today, then tomorrow it'll work out. It's not a big deal. Or a train smash. Happens, doesn't happen, one of those things. But you prepare for your deen as though you're going to go tomorrow. You've got all your ducks on the row. You have all your arrangements made. I'm going to go tomorrow. Everything is done. Nothing has been left out. Nothing is left in suspense. I was telling Yusuf this morning, see, our Indian mentality is not the right mentality. Now, you're living in a family, right? Married. So, the first step you will take now, you know, just live together with love and muhabbat and understanding. So then you don't define, this is mine and that is yours. Now when it comes to death then, is there not a problem? says, no, this is mine, this is yours. This is mine, don't you have a problem? The Arab mentality was that you define from the beginning. This is mine and this is yours. And we live understanding. So in the event of death, I ask you, is there any problem? So in this Indian mentality, is you say, no, Ali Mali Narewan, I live with love and understanding. But then when something happens, then it's a disaster, it's a problem. But in the Arab mentality, right, we defined it. This is yours. This land here, that room, that appliances, all is yours. And this is all yours. Now everything is clear, cut, nothing absurd, nothing ambiguous, clear. Right? You got the right to bring, I got the right to bring, I will enjoy, you will enjoy. Now it happens, sometimes the husband is wealthy, sometimes the wife is wealthy. Bukhari Sharif comes, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the Allah's wife, is Zainab, right? And she seems to be quite a wealthy person. So, she wants to do some sadaqah work. So, Ibn Mas'ud's son says that, you see, sadaqah starts at home. قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ starts off here. So, she was not yet very convinced, right? Obviously now the husband, and he's saying this, he's saying, spend first on me. So she was not too clear. So she went to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and she presented the whole thing that I'm very wealthy. And this is what the husband says, is Sadaqa Ibn Mas'ud. He said, what he said is true.
Right.
You start off with this sequence. You're not forced, there's no coercion, but this is how you commence, right? But I see everything is clear. So is there anything absurd, anything ambiguous? Is there any reason for fight? Any reason for any misunderstanding, nothing, clear. You have it clear, so the mind is clear, you don't feel like this will happen, and that may not happen, and if this happens, then I can do this. In this whole, Stanga Tonga belt, so there was a person that was murdered, right? So his son, non-Muslim, his son, claimed from the insurance for 10 million, 20 million. So the insurance will definitely do their own homework, right? Now in the homework they discovered that he was killed. So they're investigating still, the investigation is carrying on. Then they found that, it's a long story, but they found that the son got the father killed. So but why did you get the father killed? No, I invested very heavily, right? So the payout would have been about 25, 30 million. But the old man is not dying. But I would enjoy the body. So I had to kill him to enjoy the money, but you see what happens. You see this hope, dependence, hope in people, and to what way it can lead you to make you do very funny things, stupid things. But that is when you have the hopes in the wrong things. So, the king says that the first person that comes through here, he is supposed to be enthroned, right? Alright. Now the first person that is passing, is a grass cutter with a whole bale of hay on his head. In that zamana, hay was used quite extensively, for thatching the roofs, etc. Even to do the walls. I see that in India they use hay, right, to get it right. Like how we use brick phosphate. So they used to use that. So now this person, they caught him, put him into the bath, gave a wash. Now his body was going on. They put him royal garbs, put him onto the throne. Now the king has a sitting with his people, with his folks, select, you got one department, health department, finance department, foreign affairs, internal affairs, all, he has to have one sitting with them. Now, as he's about ending the sitting, right, he supports himself on the shoulders of two ministers, on the right and the left, and then he gets up. So now there is a protocol how you speak to the king. You can't just speak in any way that you want. So you say, I beg your pardon. In Urdu say, Jaan Bakhshi Jai, Ek Sawal Hai, must be spared, but I need to clear my mind. What's going through my mind, up till yesterday, you used to hold a whole big bale of hay on your head, 30, 40 kilos, right? Now you can't even pick yourself. Without the support of two people around you, you can't even pick yourself up. سو اسی جب خدا کسی کو حسن دیتا ہے تو نزاکت آئی جاتا ہے. لو گیوز دا بیوٹی دین انڈرسٹینڈنگ کمز رائٹ. آئی ٹول یو نو دیٹ بایس پریجڈس ڈونٹ لیٹ دیٹ کم اینڈ ڈسٹروائے یور دیئرز ٹو تھنگز بایسنس اینڈ یو ناٹ observing things. One is observe things, one is biased. One is biased, one is observed. See, observing, وَكَأَيِّ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. You're not observing, seeing things happening. Man was around, strong, and now he's totally disabled like a cabbage. Don't you see these things happening? So observe. If it happened to him, it can happen to you. Are you prepared for that event? So, فأي من آية في السماوات والأرض يمرون عليها وهم عنها معرضون. Look at the reality of Allah Ta'ala. Look at the reality of Allah Ta'ala, His sifat, His attributes, His power, His might. Anyway, now they're asking the king, what happened? So, see, جب خدا کسی کو حسن دیتا ہے تو نزاکت آ ہی جاتا ہے. So he says, you see, up till yesterday, I had only my burden to shoulder. Now I've got the entire kingdom to shoulder. So now he's also showing them, see, I need you people. So some type of cooperation, acknowledgement. And without your assistance, I can't run this. See that? So this Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, magnificence of Allah Ta'ala, must bring you to the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. And I say it's repeated, this whole theme is repeated from the beginning of the Quran Sharif right till the end. كيف تكفرون بالله وكنتم أمواتا فأحياكم. At the end, قل هو الله أحد. The most comprehensive ayat on Tawheed. So that Tawheed is being discussed elaborately throughout the Quran Sharif. Now, the flaw on science is they bring you to a certain point and then they leave you in suspense. So they will tell you, alright, the heat is provided by the sun. What is the sun? It's a ball of fire. And how it became fired and bright, some gases got together, right? And it became fired and it became bright. But now you ask them, alright, what made those elements to come, elements of gas, etc., to come in that proportion, to form that type of a body, right? And to operate in that way. And yes, finished. At that point, they don't want to admit. They don't want to accept. So that's the decadence, that's the drop, that is where they fall. But at that point, they know that they have to speak of Allah Ta'ala. When we speak about Allah Ta'ala, then now it's beyond our dignity. So the prejudice for them. So see that prejudice, that biasness for them. When you have the bet over them, they fail to accept this. Now you see a ball of fire, right? What you accept is a ball of fire made of gases, right? Whatever it was. But such precision work with the right type of heat radiating at a certain point, at a next point, changing of seasons, and you don't find an inconsistent plan. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَانِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتِ. You find any inconsistency in the plan for that. You see, precision work, absolutely precise. So that is showing you that when Allah Ta'ala is so great, so powerful, is so mighty, that He knows you completely. But if He is so precise, with such a big ball of fire, hundreds of times bigger than this earth, and that he is moving with that precision, what control he's got of you, and how much he knows of you, he knows you complete. So that is what the Tawheed was supposed to be doing in you. So you come into that realization, understanding. You're born with Allah Ta'ala, your yaqeen is growing, your faith is growing, but Allah Ta'ala makes it happen. Hasbi Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So these are the words that have to be repeated all the time. Hasbi Allah. Allah Ta'ala is sufficient. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Short, simple translation. No pain, no gain without the will of Allah Ta'ala. No pain, no gain without the will of Allah Ta'ala. Any smallest pain, smallest gain with the will of Allah Ta'ala. It's averted or it's brought with the will of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say that around this time, this la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah must be read in abundance. I make it a point to recite it at least times, morning, evening, etc. Do that. But at least do this thing. So your yaqeen grows in Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise you keep saying, hey, but now today the fitna is like this, and the fitna is like that, and the fitna is like that. So as though you are saying, na'uzubillah, that that the fitna is gone above the qudrat of Allah. So you make it look so important. But it's nothing. In a second, Allah can just make it change. The second Allah can make it change. See, Allah, He rules the mind. One brother is telling me the news about it. I'm showing you the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. And I was making some dua, right? My own man was making dua with the sports that's carrying on in Qatar, right? For some time I was making dua, and now truly I got the news that Qatar said no alcohol in public, open declaration, right? And no LG. You respect our rules in our land. So that means we're not asking Allah Ta'ala enough. We're not begging Allah. Look, what money they got. $220 billion they spent for this. And just talk about it. But did we think of Allah Ta'ala, His Qudrat, His magnificence, His greatness, His glory? You think about that. Talk about that. Get the azmat of Allah Ta'ala to permeate your heart. What is this thing here? This is so insignificant. فَلَيُّقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنُ الْأَرْضِ. What is 220 billion? If the whole world filled with gold from the earth to the heavens, right? If it's used as a ransom, as a bargain against iman, nothing doing. But iman is so precious. Imagine, فَلَيُّقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنُ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبَوْا وَلَوْ يَفْتَدَى بِهِ مَنْ شُرُ. Offer that as a ransom for كَلِمَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولَ. Nothing doing. Scrapped. So you're talking about this thing here. If we talk about the kalima, the greatness, do we talk about in these type of days, do we talk about the tashat, you know, the bitaka, hadithul bitaka, that one small note with the kalima inscribed, and that thing is just lifting the scales. All the 99 registers as far as your eyes can see, and one person said kalima, that person said kalima, and that kalima read with such sincerity, everything is getting splashed down. See, so what a might this kalima has got, what power it's got. Did we think about the power? Did we think about the glory? Did we think about the magnificence? About the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we're just listening to this and allowing this to settle in our hearts. So this, the theme of the Quran Sharif, one is Tawheed. The second theme of the Quran Sharif, right, is the Risalat. See, in this world here, the plan of Allah Ta'ala is, you don't see the being of Allah Ta'ala or the attributes of Allah Ta'ala directly. You don't see it. Yes? فَانْزُرْ إِلَىٰ آثَارِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. You heard that Allah Ta'ala is Rahim. You heard He is Kareem. You heard that He is Rahman, right? But the sifat of Rahman and Rahim, do you see it? You don't see it. Allah Ta'ala, do you see Him? But yes, the effects of His glory will be shown. The effects of His rahmat will be shown. The effects of His grandeur will be shown through the creation, etc. You will see the effect of it, cause and effect. So it must bring you, like I said, the sun, right? The glory of the sun. Right? So you looked at that and you just cut off at that point. You didn't allow your mind to go beyond that. Why? Because if I go beyond that, then I'll have to believe in a creator. And when I have to believe in a creator, then it's beyond my dignity. Then where's science then? So let me cut it off at that point. Let me not talk. See. So now I ask you, the present Muslim, he's also thinking the same lines. I make it happen. I will do it. My achievement, my work, my business, my this thing here. But I don't do that. It's Allah Ta'ala. It's Allah Ta'ala that makes it happen. After all right, the profession you're doing or the business that you're running, who instill those thoughts in your mind that do it like this, don't do it like this, open here, don't open here, open at this time, don't open at that time? Who instilled those thoughts in your mind? It was Allah Ta'ala. فَانْزُرْ إِلَىٰ آثَارِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ كَيْفَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. So exactly the same, when Allah Ta'ala wants to convey the message, He won't convey the message directly. He will convey the message through the Rasuls. So you'll get the message of Allah Ta'ala, and the message of Allah Ta'ala will be conveyed to you through the agency of a Rasul. Allahu yajtabi rusulihi man yasha. Allahu yaj'alu risalatahu. He will do it as He wants. So you don't get into why Allah Ta'ala made Him the Rasul and why Allah Ta'ala didn't make me the Rasul. Yes, You must ask, what am I supposed to be doing? Kullu shayin fi haddi fi qadri. You remain in your limits, you're going right. But you go beyond your limit, you're causing problem. In your limit, in your place, then everything is going right. You are makhluk, you are a servant of Allah Ta'ala, you remain in the place, in your place, you're going right. But now, look at a plane, right? And now, you want to take over the steward's work, the captain's work. What will happen? They will ask you, sir, take a seat. Then again, you want to do it again. Now, second time they'll get irritated. Sir, please take your seat. If you don't still listen, then they'll get three, four strong men, and they'll fasten you throughout the duration of the flight. Won't they do it? Why? That you have exceeded the limit. When you know your limit, you act within your limit, then everything is fine. And you want to go beyond the limit, then you're creating a problem for yourself and for the surrounding. So, that is the right of Allah Ta'ala to appoint the Nabi as He wishes. So the same will happen to other things as well. Understand, He has appointed him as a man and him as a woman. So that he's right. No, why wasn't a woman? He's asking all these stupid questions. Why? So, you're not going to change things. They'll change the looks and all that. That person who starts acting girlish and all that, right, walk. But the hormones, can you change that? Can you change the hormones? Can you change the emotion? That woman would still want, although he's a man now, she's a man, but she'll still want to give birth. Doesn't it happen? That's natural. You can't change that. That you can't change. Nobody would, no scientist can change that. You just bluff yourself, no, I'm a woman from today. Right? You're not going to change that thing. So what Allah has already planned, don't alter that. وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ وَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ النَّامِ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. See this shaitanic thing. So whoever is doing this, it's a shaitanic agency. فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ. Listen how clear the words are. فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. They would try to distort the creation, the formation, the looks, the appearance. They would try to change all these things. فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. That's a shaitanic agency. It's a policy, right? So leave all that. Just go. Remain with the plan of Allah Ta'ala. He created you as a man. All you need to do is, as a man, what are my duties? What are my responsibilities to my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to people? What are my responsibilities? You remain within your limits. I say, won't life be an enjoyment? Alright, I understand I'm a man. I got responsibilities. I got children towards them. I got a business. I got responsibility. I got mehman. I got parents. I got guests. I got neighbors. So what are my responsibilities? What are my duties towards them? I ask you, won't this whole place be a better place to live? But are you beginning to question the authority of Allah Ta'ala? It's not on at all. That is like the private matter of Allah Ta'ala. The private matter of Allah Ta'ala, just leave it with Him. Don't get into it. And I tell you, your private matters, you also take it with a lot of privacy. Your garden boy asks you, you know, boss, I hear you got a very beautiful wife, or you'll enjoy yourself. I want to see what you'll do, how you'll do it. Is that odd? Why? It's my private life. You want to enjoy your work, you remain in your place. Right? And I'll remain in my place. Right? Now you are just a creation. What you are? Nothing. A small fry. In the whole universe, you're nothing. Absolutely nothing. But your privacy and your reputation is so great to you that garden boy, he just crossed the limit and you warned him. And you were so irritated. You became so irritable. Didn't you become irritable? Just because of him crossing the line. So just remain on your line. Remain within your lines. There will be no problem. But you want to cross the line, run from this side or to the other side, mix up things, contaminate things, right? And then you want to know why people are acting funny with you. But now, do you see what you are doing? They're acting like this with you because you are not behaving right. You are behaving right, then nobody will do it. You know that this is the speed limit. I'm driving within my limit. No problem, police will compliment you, right? But you exceeding the limit, won't he warn you? Won't he ticket you? Won't he jail you? As now, police not fair, what he thinks of himself. Just a small offense like this, he's charging me so much. But you're not going to get anywhere. Just respect the speed limit. They know why they're doing what they're doing. Respect the limit, you'll go well. So this whole universe is the road of Allah Ta'ala. Know your limits, understand your limits, respect the limits, and you're moving well. But now you want to change, you want to alter, you want to distort. What's going to happen? I feel difficult to talk about it. But this morning now, one person had a dream. He saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No, I don't like to talk about dreams. It was a very strange dream. So he wanted, and he saw a great, great opposition. And the opposition of the Sahaba Kiram. Right. So he's into the field. He sees Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Sahaba Kiram are the opponents. Right. And he asks for Rasulullah some sword, and someone kiss him. Umar Raja is coming and he slays him. And whoever else is coming and he slays him. So you want to know what's the meaning. So what came in my mind? I'm telling you what came in my mind. I gave the answer. See, a lot of people are talking about the Sahaba or trying to pretend to be like the Sahaba, but they don't have an iota of love, of understanding of the Sahaba Ikram. They're talking great. But do they have the flavor of the Sahaba Ikram? Do they have the fikr of the Sahaba Ikram? Do they have the understanding of the Sahaba Ikram? Just giving out a glorious picture. And these people that are giving out the picture, they're not true to themselves. They want to show a picture of Umar. They want to show a picture of the Sahaba Ikram, but they don't have that. Now they don't understand that this fikr and this concern comes at the feet of the Mashayikh. You don't realize it. It will take you years to come to that conclusion that this fikr, this zawq, this understanding comes at their feet. It is a plan of Allah Ta'ala. You can't alter. I say it's a plan of Allah Ta'ala. You don't want to alter the thing. So just humble yourself. Leave the prejudice aside. Leave the pride aside. Humble yourself. See, at first step. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُ. At first step, humble yourself. That was the first step. Now, that first step you don't want to take, then how do you want this road to be accessible? See this bias, how it smashes the road. Now, I said the second theme of the Quran Sharif is Risalat, right? So in the Risalat, there will be two things that the Quran Sharif will discuss. One is, لا نفرق بين أحد من رسلي. We don't discriminate. That نؤمن ببعض ونكفر ببعض. We don't discriminate, we believe in all. But that's the dividing line between Islam and every other cult and every other faith. Someone is believing in Musa al-Islam, rejecting Isa al-Islam. Someone is believing Isa al-Islam, rejecting Musa al-Islam. And we say, كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Believe in all. No, we don't make any difference. And those that making a difference between this Nabi and that Nabi, نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْدِهُ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْدِهُ, Allah Ta'ala says so openly, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقَّ. They are absolutely pure kafirs. Now you see, when you mix up things, no, we must all be united under one umbrella, Abrahamic, etc., etc., right? And what Allah Ta'ala is saying, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقَّ. لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَكُمْ هُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا. Quran is saying so openly, يَتَّخِذُونَ دِينَهُمْ لَهْوًا وَلَعِبًا. They have made their religion sports and play. See, when you don't have an elder over to supervise. يَتَّخِذُونَهُمْ لَهْوًا وَلَعِبًا. They made يَتَّخِذُونَ دِينَهُمْ لَهْوًا وَلَعِبًا. So, the tafsir has got two explanations. One is, they made their deen as a sports and a pastime. So they don't take it serious to heart. And the second tafsir is so apt, right? Second tafsir is, the whole deen is play and amusement. The whole deen is play and amusement. Now look at the sports, right? And the whole world's focus is on that. Even a little bit of a pious person, I don't mean to pick out anybody, right? But he'll want to know the score, right? So drive around. Who's catching it and who's guiding? If he's not watching, at least he wants to know. At least he wants to know. Is it right or not right? But where's the mind? So the whole mind is, they took the deen as play and sports. So now you look at a kafir mentality, more than 70% is just play and amusement. entertainment, amusement. So they're living life to amuse themselves, play sports. So this life is not a serious thing. Akhirat is not a serious thing. So the Nabi has come to make you understand, recognize Akhirat as a serious thing. And that's where you need to score. That's where you need to invest. That's where you need to go. You conscientize yourself, your children. You conscientize. I was explaining to someone. Let's see how unfair we are. Right? How unfair we are. Look at our own selves. Introspect. So when we are going for a Jummah talk, so much of preparation for this talk, bayan, 50 kitab you look at the sunnah, right? Eventually got a bayan. Giving presentation, everything. And then after you want some compliments, went to all, didn't went, how many bites you had there. But I asked you, do you have that fikr for your wife and children? That I need to present this, there's something not right here. They don't have the parda. Or, I am becoming abusive. I am becoming short fused. Am I correcting myself? Do I address this thing? I can see I am biased. I am unfair. One situation I'm acting like this. In another situation I'm acting something different. Am I right or not right? Am I right? Are we introspecting? Yes, but we are quick to show that person. Give the bayan. But within the homes, are we preparing the home as well? Anzir ashiratakal aqrabin. Hu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. وَأَمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. See, the Quran is loaded with this type of verse. But now, our work is just to get the next person. Get the person, catch the market, etc. Are we catching the market within the home? So I explain them, see. Allah Thami Sahib Rahmatai was a, Allah made him such, very comprehensive, in all respects, very comprehensive. But he was doing tafsir with his own family. And he shows some places like وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَ قَدْرِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ بِيَمِينِ. That I was trying to wonder why وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ بِيَمِينِ, and my family gave this explanation. So that means they were committed to doing that ta'aleem in the house as well. You look at my Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, all life in jihad, etc. But Mishkat and Quran Sharif is doing with this household. Right? Now, do we do this thing? Outsource now, that Apa will do it. I go, no time, Mutala, this thing, I need to run here, I need to go there, remember all that. But do we do these things here? Are we doing these things here? Ask ourselves, are we fair in that respect? We can come now, run here, go this place. But that type of fikr that was required, that I'm going towards the Akhirat. I need to do this preparation. What have I done for my wife and children? Right? And the children, not any chacha, that would be with you around, playing around with you for 20 years. After that, they go on their direction, you go on your direction. So they can tell, you know, Allah Ta'ala, my father did everything, but he didn't package the deen for us like it's supposed to be packaged. Can't they complain with that? So you see that the work of the Nabi, right? So in the Nabi you'll find two things. You believe in them all. Number two, they are a sinless creation of Allah Ta'ala. See, the sin in the rest of humanity is because of emotions or because of temptations. And you won't find a single Nabi that is motivated through temptation or through emotions, right? So if it's an error in judgment. Error in what? They want to reach Allah Ta'ala, right? And in that endeavor to reach Allah Ta'ala, it's an error. مَا نَحَاكُمْ مَا نَحَادِي شَجَرَتِي إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. Adam alayhi salam once, he remains there, so he enjoys the proximity with Allah Ta'ala. قَاسَبَهُمَا. And this shaitan, Iblis, he took an oath. And now he couldn't believe. Adam alayhi salam is brand new. He can't understand that this person can take a name, a qasam in the name of Allah Ta'ala, and he fell for that. So it wasn't temptation driven. Not emotion, you are temptation or emotion, anger, etc., emotion, right? So we are driven like that. They are not driven with it. So this is the second theme of the Quran Sharia. The last theme and the most important theme for this day and time, that we totally not talking, we don't relate, we don't discuss, is Akhirat. And the importance of Akhirat, so important, right? Umar radiallahu anhu is asked, what is istiqamah? He says, al-istiqamatu wa al-istimsaku al-amri wa al-nahi wa la taruhu rohan rohan al-fa'ali. that you remain firm on the do's and the don'ts. And don't scheme ways like a fox. We talk about a fox, what it does. Scheming ways, right? And all of us will know scheming what it refers to. So don't scheme, just remain firm. أن تقوم على النهي على الأمر والنهي ولا تروه روغان الثعالب. Don't look for ways and escape routes. Right? Don't look for that. Allah Ta'ala.